Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Necessary Roughness with former NFL lineman TJ Lang and John Jansen.
Well, welcome into our brand new podcast, episode number one of Necessary Roughness with Lang and Jansen. Just a little background on who we are. TJ Lang is my partner. I'm John Jansen. TJ played 10 years in the NFL, 8 in Green Bay, 2 in Detroit, has a Super Bowl championship ring. And I'm very jealous of the Super Bowl ring. I almost said national championship because that's what I have. It's the smaller version of what TJ has.
About 13 years apart though, too. You know,
it is.
Jewelry
it is.
Came a long way in the 2000s, there, John.
Yes, and as I mentioned, I'm John Jansen. I played a dozen years in the NFL, 10 in Washington, now called the Washington Football Team. We can't say the other name. And I finished up 2 in here in Detroit. TJ and I are both from the Detroit area. I went to Clawson High School, and TJ is alma mater is Brother Rice.
Birmingham, Brother Rice.
Yeah. So TJ,
Warriors, baby.
Welcome,
man. We're gonna have some fun this year, aren't we?
I hope so. We're gonna try and make the best. Obviously, we're locally here in Detroit, and TJ, I forgot to mention as well, does the sideline reporting for the Detroit Lions, and hopefully, we can have some fun with as much as we possibly can, because so far through 2 games, there hasn't been a lot of fun, at least in the results.
Right. But you know what? I mean, did anybody really expect them to be anything other than 0-2?
No.
You know, and I know that it's NFL. Obviously, it's very competitive when you speak about the Lions, but when the schedule came out, you're like, okay, San Fran, yeah, perennial playoff team when they're healthy, yeah. Green Bay, yeah, okay, 2 straight NFC championship games. Okay, let's just try to play well. But obviously, yeah, it's the expectations, I feel like, for the first time in a long time in Detroit are realistic. You know, sometimes when you get a new coach, new, you know, players, front office, it's like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, we're going, you know, super.
Yeah.
Everybody in Detroit has really tempered their expectations and given this team a chance to at least define who they are and build who they are. And it's just good. Listen, man, it's, I know people don't like the word rebuild. There's going to be some fun moments, but there's going to be a lot of lumps as well. And they've obviously taken some, you know, last couple of weeks.
They have taken some lumps, obviously losing to San Francisco, but in that game, you saw a second half and, more importantly, a fourth quarter. And there's a lot that we can get into about, you know, how they were able to make that comeback, but it was exciting. It gave the fans something to cheer about, something to get behind. And then, obviously, Monday night, a very tough game for you. Both of your teams, Green Bay and Detroit, facing off on Monday night. But Detroit goes into halftime up 17-14, which nobody thought was possible.
Yeah, my two teams on my birthday for the second straight year. Thanks, NFL. That's awesome. Really putting me in a bind there. But both games, when you look at the score, have been out of hand, and the San Francisco game made it look maybe a little bit closer than what it was. That was out of hand for a long time, but there's been stretches in both of those games, like you said, that have been just extremely encouraging. You know, the first half against Green Bay, going out, taking the ball, punching them in the mouth, putting up 7 points on your first possession, letting, you know, your opponent know, hey, we don't give a that we're, you know, 12-point underdogs. We're going to let you know that you guys are in for a battle today. I thought that was obviously encouraging. The question is just, I guess, how do you find consistency, right? One good half of football against the the Packers, and then really one good quarter, I guess, of play against San Francisco there in the fourth quarter. How do you find that consistency? They're a young team. You know, they've got a really young secondary with a couple, you know, really bad injuries so far through 2 weeks with Melifonwu and with Jeff Okuda. But where do you find that consistency? That's the hardest part about being not only a good player in this league, but a good team in this league, is you know you're going to take some lumps. You know there's going to be adversity. But how do you find that consistency? That's the battle that I think they're facing right now.
Well, let's start from the top down, because this offseason you've got a new GM. You got a new head coach. You've got, you know, new coaching staff. Then, you know, they all start to put the plans in place, and they basically admit, whether they want to publicly or not, that this is a rebuild. And it was signified, I think, by ownership giving Brad Holmes and Matt Campbell 6-year
deals. Yeah, the long contracts, yeah.
So they know that it's a complete rebuild, and it's going to take 2-3 I don't want to say 4, but it's going to take a number of years before they get to respectability and where they're competing for either a wild card spot, a playoff spot, a division championship, whatever you want to talk about as the landmark for, you know, success. And honestly, it's just a playoff win here in Detroit.
Right.
But then you look at the trade that's made. They send Matt Stafford out to L.A. They get Jared Goff and 2 first-round picks. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. Your thoughts on the rebuild and how they're going about it. How is it different than anything that you've seen in your time in the NFL, but especially with your involvement with the Detroit Lions and following it here basically your entire life?
Well, I guess when you talk about, you know, the origin of the rebuild, everybody just realized how It's so crazy how fast you can go from being a competitive team to 3 years later having to start all over. And by that, I mean my first year in Detroit, 2017, we were 9-7 football team. You know, we lost a game on the last inch, you know, Golden Tate getting tackled by Atlanta, not scoring. That's 10 wins. Okay, Cincinnati beat us by a field goal. Pittsburgh beat us by 2 points. You look back, you reflect at the end of the season and say, damn, man, like, you know, we could have, okay, obviously there's a couple wins in there too, but man, 10 wins was right there, 11 wins was right there. And then you look at this team last year, you know, when Patricia was here, and you're saying they don't have anybody. They don't have anybody to build off of. Like, it's just so fast how it changes. But that leads me back, I guess, to the expectations, you know. Brad Holmes comes in, Dan Campbell comes in, and they get these long contracts, which lets you know that, you know, it's going to take some time. But rebuilds right now in the NFL can be expedited by a year or two if you get a couple just dynamic players in here. And I obviously know that, you know, like they're drafting Penei Sewell in the first round. Yep. Okay, that's an offensive lineman. That's not flashy. But you know what that is? That's building your offense. And you take a look at their offensive line now, obviously Taylor Decker still being out. Those guys have been the most consistent position group on this team. Okay, that's a hell of a place to start. So maybe next year it's okay, all we need is a receiver, maybe all we need is this, instead of looking at it last year saying we don't have this, we don't have this. Well, you know, there's a checklist of stuff that you don't have. All it takes sometimes is one player that you bring in for free agents around the league to say, oh, look at that guy over there in Detroit, I want to go play with him, you know. And Penei Sewell could be that type of guy. You know, I know it's not a flashy pick, but if they end up finding that guy at some point, maybe next year on the defensive side, where other guys are saying, I want to go play with him, you can cut a year or two off that rebuild, man. And hopefully time will obviously tell on that. But it's been, I mean, look at where the Cleveland Browns were 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at where they were 3 years ago. Look at them now. And it started with them really building the offensive line, going out and getting a couple guys, drafting you know, left tackle from Alabama, like Jedrick Wills,
yeah,
right, and going and signing, you know, J.C. Treader and Wyatt Teller. Like, they just built that offensive line, and it wasn't pretty for a year, and then they got their quarterback, obviously. But that team, I mean, I don't know, they're probably considered a really good competitive playoff team, at least through 2 weeks.
In the AFC, certainly. And I'll ask you this, because we do want to talk more than just what's going on here in Detroit, since you brought up Cleveland, I've always said they're the AFC version of the Lions. And if, because they've, you know, they even lost their franchise. That's something Detroit hasn't had to deal with. Yeah, they even lost their
franchise. So much failure throughout the years.
but Baker Mayfield, you've got this offensive line that you just described. You've got two really good running backs. Mm-hmm. You've got a stable of receivers. So offensively, they're one of the most dynamic offenses, or should be one of the most dynamic offenses in the NFL. Now, week one, you know, the wheels came off a little bit, but that's because they were playing against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. But Baker Mayfield, do you think Baker Mayfield is a franchise quarterback? Is he going to be a guy that they can continue to build that team around? Offensively, they should be set. Now, they're going to have to redo some contracts, but defensively, and God, defensively, they're getting after the passer.
Yeah, they are. I mean, that kind of leads me back to the last point, Myles Garrett. Okay, you go draft him number one overall. Now other guys around the league saying, I want to go play with Myles Garrett. Look at that guy coming off the edge. You know, they're building something there. But as far as Baker, I mean, is he a dynamic type player? No, he's not a Patrick Mahomes. He's not, you know, a Josh Allen type of player. But can he win you a lot of games? Yes, he can. And is there potential in that team to kind of take over the AFC? I don't know, maybe this year, but if they keep building, maybe in the next 2 years, depending on contract situations, right? Mm-hmm. It obviously plays a big part. But, yeah, I can see him doing that. And it starts – their offense is so stable, right? And we haven't seen Odell Beckham play yet this year, and Landry's going to miss some time now. But, I think it seemed like 5 years ago, if you didn't have a top three or four quarterback – like, you were done. You know, you had no chance. Now, you look at Tom Brady. I mean, can Baker Mayfield play to the same productivity that Tom Brady can? I think he can. Yeah, it's not Tom Brady of old, but Tom Brady's still playing good. But he's a pocket passer. I mean, Baker Mayfield, obviously, I think he can continue to grow and definitely be that type of guy.
So then I'll turn it around on you, because if the Lions are going that path and – they're building the offensive line. They obviously drafted two guys up front defensively as well in Aleem McNeil and Levi Onwuzurike. If they're building up front and they're going to put things together much like the Cleveland Browns did, can Jared Goff be that guy?
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. And I think that his play throughout the first couple weeks has been encouraging at times. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco game was weird to me. It was almost the first quarter, the first half. It was almost a little bit PTSD with Goff. By that meaning, he's played against San Francisco so much in his career. He's probably taken so many shots from those guys.
He's gotten here a couple times.
Okay, Taylor Decker's out. Penei Sewell's been playing left tackle for 3 days. We've got Matt Nelson at right tackle, who was a defensive lineman 2 years ago. Uh-huh. But there's a lot of factors that kind of go into your psyche, I guess. So the first half of that game was really weird. It was like the ball was coming out so fast, he wasn't comfortable. But when you look at it, he had all the time in the world. The offensive line was playing really well. And he started to figure that out in the second half. And that's why, you know, I know the game was out of hand, but that's why the last fourth quarter, at least, you saw a lot of encouraging things from Jared Goff once he started to get comfortable. And he parlayed that right into the first half against Green Bay Packers. I mean, he was extending plays. He was being creative. He was doing all these things that kind of make you sit back and say, yeah, what the hell's wrong? Well, you know, why can't we win with this guy? Obviously, the game, you know, once again got out of hand, and it spirals, man. It's when you watch the film as a player and you lose 35-17, it feels so much worse than what it was. When you get in that meeting room the next day and you're saying, you know, I missed that throw on fourth and one that could have given us the lead there back in the third quarter. You know, damn, they go down and score again, and I fumble the exchange on the first. You know, that's all it takes sometimes is two plays in the NFL for it to be a close game and a blowout. And I think that, you start limiting those mistakes a little bit. This isn't a Lions team right now that has a big margin for error, and I think even Coach Campbell mentioned that. They've got to play just really good, solid football. Jared Goff has shown that he's capable of doing that. He's just got to start putting it together. And it might not be this year, John. It might be next year, right? maybe the way he plays the rest of this year, they say, okay, we got something for him. But you also look at what does he have to work with on the outside? There's really not any receivers that have, you know, established themselves as being playmakers or number one guys. You can't win a whole lot of games targeting your tight end 12, 15 times a game. But, yeah, I think it's, you know, definitely encouraging in, you know, pretty big spurts so far in the first two quarters or two games of the season that, yeah, I mean, I think this is a guy you can win with.
You know, so if you can win with them and they're building in the trenches, they're building up front with that offensive line. And, you know, I'm going to put a pin in the conversation of what happens with Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell when Taylor Decker's healthy.
That'll be fun to watch.
It's going to be really interesting. And we've talked about it before, and I'm just going to touch on it quick. You know, making that change from left to right or right to left, because I was on the right side, I was a right tackle, and I had to play my final year as basically backing up all five positions, but I got into a game at left guard. And I don't know if at that point, having played in one position on one side for, 16 years, you know, throughout my time in college as well, trying to put my other hand in the dirt and step with a different foot, it was awful. And the results pretty much showed that it was awful. But, you know, when he comes back, do you keep them both on the left and you have yourself maybe one of the best left sides in the NFL because you put one of those guys at guard, you put one at tackle, or do you put, you know, Penei Sewell back at right tackle? But when that question comes up, we'll discuss it at that time. Yeah. But we're talking about building the offensive line, building in the trenches. They drafted the two defensive linemen. They got Michael Brockers, who I think was a great add in the offseason just to show those guys as a 10-year vet how they're supposed to prepare for games, how they watch film, how they go about doing things to be a pro and to continue to get better.
And he played much better against Green Bay than he did in San Francisco. San Francisco, I know he's a veteran guy, but – oh, he missed the whole preseason. He didn't play any preseason games. He didn't practice a whole lot. Week one was kind of like, okay, what's going on? Week two, he played a lot better in Green Bay. So, yeah, he's definitely a guy that he's doing what they hope he can do. You know?
So he plays better in week two. And Jared Goff, as you mentioned, was kind of feeling things out in the first half of that San Francisco game. I know that times have changed with salary cap, with free agency, with the offseason programs. You know, there's only three preseason games, 17 regular season games. You don't want to get anybody hurt, but would they have been benefited by having more of the starters play in the preseason? I don't know where you stand on that. I'm probably more of the old school mindset where those guys got to play more so that you don't get into week one and you're feeling things out. You don't have that PTSD. And I know part of that was because he was playing against a team he'd played against every, you know, twice a year since he's been in the NFL. But, you know, if you don't have that warm-up half, maybe that San Francisco game goes a little bit differently, at least early on. Not that it caused the loss, but if you don't get down so much in the first half, because you're feeling things out, things might have gone a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, especially.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When you consider all the new players, new coaching staff, new scheme, you have to build chemistry in this league, man. And you can do as much as possible throughout practice and the meeting rooms, but when you step on that field and it's game time, it ain't the same thing. Nope. You know, the energy's different, the adrenaline's different. You know, some guys, yeah, it's just different. And they had the one series, you know, in the preseason, the offense where they played, you know, they had whatever that 18 play drive was against, was it against Buffalo? I think it was. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know what? That's always kind of been the fine line of preseason football. Okay, how much do we weigh? We need the experience and we need to build the chemistry versus, do we want to risk losing anybody? But you look at the teams. I mean, Patrick Mahomes played a lot this preseason. Tom Brady played a lot this preseason. Aaron Rodgers didn't play at all this preseason. They go out week one and lay a stinker. So I think, yeah, there's definitely – I don't know what the exact formula is, but I would say if you're a young team with new coaches, you have to take advantage of every rep, every game rep possible. There's just so many things you can't simulate on a practice field or in a meeting room. And so, yeah, maybe that was part of it in San Francisco where, okay, haven't been hit in a while, you know, haven't done this in a while, haven't, you know, had to go back out for 2 series in a while. Those things just take time to kind of hit your memory and before you start feeling comfortable. I know it did with me, you know, with the games where the seasons where I would play in the preseason, you're rolling into week one with some confidence, yeah. Right? The seasons that maybe I was injured, you know, coming off of surgery where I didn't play in the preseason, week one, you're kind of like, oh, do I still got it? You know, like you don't have that confidence from the preseason snap. So yeah, that definitely could have played a factor week one.
And they're playing against the team, as we talk about injuries in the preseason, that Baltimore this coming weekend, that was in the backfield devastated with injuries, yet they continue to be able to rush the football. Now, a lot of that is just the fact that it's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
But they're a team that runs the ball. Is there any chance because, you know, the Lions, where they really struggled defensively is in the secondary.
Right.
Up front, they're a team that's at least physical. At times, they've been able to be stout against the run. Yep. Is this a chance for them, knowing that you've got to make Baltimore one-dimensional? You've got to try and take away the run game to make Lamar Jackson throw the ball, that they've got a chance defensively to look better?
Well, I don't you don't want to say they couldn't be much worse, but you know, last week there were stretches of defensive ball that were like, wow, okay, that is completely different than what we saw in week one. They're covering people, they're tackling people, they're attacking the football, they're pursuing, they're finishing, you know. They were encouraging strides for sure, but yeah, the question is, you know, I don't see a lot of, you look at the Detroit Lions, especially the front seven. Everything you just mentioned, those guys play their ass off. They play hard. They play tough. You know, they're not getting pushed around easily, right? Mm-hmm. But the one thing when you play a quarterback like Lamar Jackson is if you don't have the athletes, you know, you're going to get exposed. So who are the, have there really been any guys on the Detroit front seven that are like, okay, this guy flies to the ball, man. He's a, you know, lightning speed dude. A lot of the guys are just kind of big, just almost old school brawler type guys, you know? So that's a little bit worrisome. And I know Coach Campbell mentioned, hey, when you play a team like this, that's got a running quarterback, a lot of it's on your front seven to, you know, shut down the run, but you know, a lot of it's safety play too, making sure that, okay, Lamar Jackson, yes, he's going to get outside the pocket. If you're a safety last line of defense guy, you have to tackle. And we, you know, Tracy Walker made some really nice plays against Green Bay. Will Harris was better in Green Bay. But there were some concerning things there in, you know, week one that were like, ah, boy, like this safety position, man. So that's – if they're going to play well and have a chance to stop the rushing attack of – you know, Baltimore, it's got to come down really to the middle of that defense in the interior, including the inside linebackers.
Yeah.
And those safeties are going to have to play their ass off.
And we're hoping to see a little bit more of Derek Barnes. Yeah. I know that Dan talked about, you know, Alex Anzalone and, you know, led the team in tackles.
Right.
He plays hard. He, you know, we've all seen those guys, right? That every time they step on the field, they're going to play balls out.
Yeah.
And that's just
high
what they do.
Guys,
But they don't have the speed to keep up with a Lamar Jackson. And now, granted, not many linebackers do.
Right.
Does Derek Tampa's Barnes.
Tampa's got a couple, but those guys are anomalies.
That's why they're defending world champs.
Yeah.
and they got everybody back. But does Derek Barnes, one, does he deserve a chance? And, you know, did Alex Anzalone not do enough to say, hey, we need to move on? Because we're only two games in.
Yeah, to answer the latter question, I think if Derek Barnes sees the field, I don't think it's going to be an Alex Anzalone spot. I think it might be, you know, let's see what he can do, because Jamie Collins has been a guy that he plays tough, he plays hard. I mean, he pops you. Now, he's got some power behind it, but he hasn't made a lot of plays through 2 weeks. And he has really kind of turned into you know, you don't want to throw guys under the bus, but he has not been good in pass coverage. I mean, he just kind of looks lost out there at times. And last week, you know, he's on a bad matchup on one of the touchdowns, Darren Jones out in the flat. He just had no chance. But if Derek Barnes does play more, and you got to remember, too, Anzalone's a Saints guy, right? He's a Dan Campbell dude, and he was here because those guys know each other. And he wears the captain's patch on his chest, too. I don't know if that would be a good look, taking one of the captains off the field after 2 weeks. But Derek Barnes, listen, what I saw in preseason, yes, he deserves a chance to play.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, we don't know what goes on at the practice field. We don't know what goes on in the meeting rooms, right? This guy could be, okay, he had a really couple really nice flashes in the preseason. He was really kind of showed himself to be a stout tackler. A lot of that was coming against backups, but it was encouraging. Now, if the coaches feel like he's ready, if he's doing all the right things at practice, you know, he's dialed in the meeting rooms and he's just kind of, you know, just waiting for his chance, throw him in there. If he's a guy, we've both played with guys, John, that
practice warriors,
once in a while, and then, you know, you look at them in the meeting rooms and they're not working hard at practice. You know, that's when you got to earn your time. That's when coaches want to see you perform. Or you have guys, like we said, that are just, you know, practiced team All-Americans. Mm-hmm. Then you put them in a game and it's like, oh, but yeah, absolutely. I think just through two games, I don't know if you make him the starter. I'd like to see him on the field, though, because he was actually, he was really good in pass coverage in the preseason. Really good. He was one of the top ranked, rookie linebackers throughout the whole all three games in pass coverage, and that's an area that's really kind of bitten the Lions in the ass so far, as those plays across the middle of the field where they're just not getting the coverage on guys. So I mean, listen, man, I would love to see it. Who wouldn't, though?
Yeah,
it's easy to say, oh, this position's struggling, throw the rookie in, right? They might throw the rookie in and we're all like, okay, never mind. Bring back the vet.
Yeah,
but if you add everything together with this team, the expectations, okay, nobody's saying they're going to go to the playoffs or do anything great this year, but yeah, why not see what you have?
So, going along those same lines, if you want to see what you've got now, you know, we've had some injuries. The Lions have had some injuries. and you want to see some young players. Should we be seeing more of Levi Onwuzurike? More, and Akeem McNeil is starting, but you want to see more of those guys, a Brockers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, because we need to be able to evaluate, all right, does Brad Holmes, is he really this draft guru that can identify, you know, guys that can come out and play? And I liked Melifonwenu until he got hurt. I thought that his... Yeah. You know, the 50-yard catch by Davante Adams, the coverage was there.
It was an unstoppable throw.
Yeah.
I mean, it was right there. It was just a perfect throw.
That's just
the coverage was tight, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, coverage was tight. And he had one where he was, you know, just didn't look back, but the ball hit him in the
helmet. Hit him in the back of the helmet. That, you know what?
Ball attacks, man.
I don't want to get off topic here, but I wanted to ask, like, some of my DB buddies.
Yeah.
How... Not douchebag buddies, like defensive back buddies.
Yeah, yeah. We all have DB buddies.
we got both of them, sure. I want to ask those guys how hard it is to read the body language of a receiver and know when to get your head around. Because really through, you look back at that big touchdown San Francisco scored, it was awesome coverage by Jeff Okuda. Mm-hmm. He just never turned around. You look at the Anzalone coverage on Robert Tonyan, it was awesome coverage. He never turned his head around. And it's so easy to say, oh, my God, if you just turn your head around, that's a pick, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy to say that, but I don't know how hard it is. Obviously, me and you don't know. We've never played that position.
Well, but we don't know that position, but we do know, you know, anticipation. Like,
right.
You know, we played
reading
a decade.
Body language,
yeah, reading body language. And you've got to be able to have some of that anticipation. You've got to be able to. Now, if it's Melifonwenu, and, you know, he's a rookie, right? And this is all happening at a different speed than it happened in preseason, than it happened in college. Now, Jeff Okuda, it's his second year. Now, he was hurt a little bit last year, but, and I say all of these, you know, qualifiers, they're all excuses.
Right.
And you and I both know it does take some time. You know, like, if we see Derek Barnes get in there and he doesn't perform well, it takes some time to be able to react at the speed at which the NFL plays at. And so you can't just judge a guy on one performance.
And if they play poorly, you're not going to say, oh, he's a bust, right?
Right.
There's just, you don't see many.
We won't, but there's a lot of fans that will.
Yes, but that's just unrealistic, in my opinion, to expect rookies to go out and just absolutely light it up year one. You know, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be flashes. You certainly hope so, but there's going to be a lot of growing pains as well. But, yeah, just quickly going back to the young guys. Yeah, I mean, Levi was he was inactive week one. You know, he battled some injuries through preseason and training camp, so we don't really know, you know, if that had a factor week one. He did play last week. Had a couple nice reps in there, especially against the run. Lee McNeil only played maybe 20 snaps or so because the Packers just with their – packages, they were running a lot of sub offense. You know, we had a lot of nickel and dime on the field against them, but he made a couple plays that were really encouraging as well. So I guess it's that fine line, you know, if you could remember back when you were a rookie, like it's that fine line of, okay, we want to develop these guys. We want to make sure they're ready because, you know, confidence is a real issue, right? If you send a young guy out there and they don't perform, you know, the first game, or maybe they go through 2-3 game stretch where having a rough time, that doubt starts to creep in a little bit, and you have to be a mentally tough dude, you know, to just keep your head down and just keep working.
Just keep grinding.
Just keep grinding, man.
You do. There's a mental toughness, and there's also the feeling like you start to overcompensate. And
you try to do too much.
You try and do too much, and I think we saw it with Matt Nelson against San Francisco, where he opens his hip and gives up a pressure, and then the next play he oversets, and somebody beats him inside. So it's overcompensation. I don't know what it means to overcompensate for a defensive back. I know what it means for some DBs, but because they're DBs because they do overcompensate. I want to shift focus just a little bit to the rest of the NFL. And when I look at, you know, just throughout two games, the biggest surprise to me, and maybe it shouldn't be, but in the NFC South, obviously nobody's surprised that Tampa's, you know, 2-0.
Yeah.
But Carolina, 2-0 with new quarterback, second year head coach in Matt Rhule. They are, to me, the surprise so far of the NFL. Is there anybody else that you would say, you know what, I don't think we can include anybody in the NFC West because that's just a kick-ass division. And, you know, same with the AFC West. Out West, they've got some pretty good football right now. I mean, any other surprises?
Yeah, Vegas, I think. But is it really surprising? Because Vegas always seems to start hot.
They do. They
somehow fizzle. But, yeah, that week one win they had against Baltimore was pretty damn impressive.
It was. And, you know, some people want to say Denver is a surprise Denver, team. Yeah. But, I mean, they beat the Giants. They beat the Jags. Now, granted, both of those games were on the road. But both of those teams are 0-2, and I don't know that anybody expects the Jags to do much of anything different than they did last year.
Right.
But I look at Carolina, and I think, God, you know, and
there's – It's been impressive. It's obviously been, McCaffrey back, healthy, you know, made a difference too. But, yeah, for – I think that's kind of what Lions fans at least give us hope is seeing
a team like make Sam, a turnaround.
You're right, seeing a guy like Sam Darnold – who, you know, was a high pick, got run out of his former team, not a lot of success, goes down to Carolina. Now, it's still a long season, but to see them at least have success, I think that gives Lions fans hope that, you know, not to, you know, at least let's see if Jared Goff can
do the same.
Do the same. And the Lions have had a much tougher schedule.
The Lions schedule came out, and we always play the schedule game, and I tried to go through it, and it's hard for me when I go through the schedule, and there's a team that I actually want to be successful,
right,
not to come up with a way to win every game, right? And and you could say, well, okay, when they play, you know, San Francisco, well, you know what, San Francisco last year was a team with injuries. Jimmy G, is there a possibility that the controversy at the quarterback position affects them? And, you know, maybe you pencil that one as a win. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then you play week two, and you think, well, okay, all of the offseason drama with Aaron Rodgers and not being there, not knowing if he was going to retire, is it going to be Jordan Love? Maybe that affects them. Obviously, that didn't work.
Yeah.
But it's always that thing that you run through, and the schedule for the Lions, it doesn't get any easier because you got Baltimore and you keep going through it and you're like, okay, well, maybe when they play Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All right. That could be a chance for a win.
I think they split the season series with Minnesota and Chicago. I mean, I could see them. I don't know, maybe about, you know, in 2 weeks from now when we
home team
go
wins
to Chicago.
Yeah,
I could see the home teams pulling them out. I mean, just the way that, like, the Lions.
Justin Fields just didn't look like that good.
He didn't look that good. And obviously, let's see how they play against a dual threat quarterback this week, Lamar Jackson. But hey, they played well against Trey Lance. Trey Lance didn't do much when he was in for the four or five stats. Yeah. I don't know how much stock you could put into that. But they seem like they would match up well against Chicago, just the style of football that wants to be played with running the ball. Obviously, it's, you know, having to stop the run. Let's see how this week goes. Maybe it's a different tone next week. I think I might call my shot and say Lions got a chance to go to Chicago and get the first win.
I just don't know why they played
tough against Chicago. I could see that happening.
So here's what happens in the audio industry, whether it's radio or broadcast or podcast. People are going to take that and they're going to say TJ Lang guaranteed a win against Chicago.
I could see it. I could see a scenario.
I could see a scenario where it happens.
But you know. Shoot, man. They got a chance.
What
other surprises have there really been? I mean, 2 weeks is...
2 weeks, it's hard to say that there's
a surprise. It's such a small sample size. I mean, you know, you could look at...
Kansas City losing in September. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes throwing an interception in September.
Yeah, right. Yeah, losing for the first time ever. You look at... I mean, you know, I never feel bad for this team, but look at the Vikings' first two games. You know, they lose in overtime week one, and then
comes down to a kicker.
Last week they miss a 37-yard field goal. By the way, oh man, did you hear that? Did you hear the call from their play-by-play guy?
I did. It was amazing. He thought that they had hit it, and he was celebrating the win.
He was going hard too.
And then on top of it, you hear the post game, and Zimmer thinks that one was basically easy, automatic.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be an easy one. Yeah, just much golf.
How many times have kickers screwed your teams in your career?
Points. For me, not much. I mean, I was lucky to play with Mason Crosby for a while, and Matt Prater was, you know, pretty damn automatic too. So that's the last. I mean, when you're a team, that's why, you know, and I don't want to get into this conversation, but when they didn't re-sign Matt Prater, it was like, okay, you could kind of understand it, right? But at the same time, you're like, if you're the Lions, you know, the wins might be limited this year.
Where are you going to get your points?
The games that you do have a chance to win, do you want the kicker to be the one to cost you? You know what I mean? Like, if we're in a battle and it's 20-20, you know, we're down 21-20, we got a 45-yarder to win. And I don't know. I mean, Seibert, you know, he's been okay so far, but you don't ever want to skimp out on a kicker. I feel like that's an easy position to say, oh, we'll just replace it. But the good ones, the good ones will win you some games.
All right, let's just, before we end this, let's talk kickers, because Seibert's the kicker right now. We've already seen, four times now, Dan Campbell go for it on 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
Where you could have put 3 points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So if Prater's your kicker, and now I know, you know, he wasn't automatic last year, but he's still one of the better kickers in the NFL, that's 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the 12 points, it's momentum, it's leads, it's the opportunity to put points on the board on drives. And walking off the field or jogging off the field, whatever you want to do, it's knowing that you came away with something.
Yeah.
4th-and-1 on the amount of times that they've done it. Do you think Dan Campbell makes a different choice if Prater's the kicker as opposed to Seibert?
No, I don't. I don't. And I think it's because, A, you look at the teams that they faced. Field goals aren't going to beat the San Francisco. They're not going to beat the Niners. They're not going to beat the Packers. Now, maybe you could make a case against Green Bay where the score was 21-20. You know, you had the ball at the 25-yard line, I believe, maybe just to get that game, you know, just get a little bit of juice back. But, no, I don't think it would have been any different. Now, let's see how, you know, when they play Cincinnati or when they play, if they're in a tight game against Chicago, I could see him taking the points, because games like that, you need the points. But, you know, in his defense, field goals will not beat teams that can put up 35 points.
No, and I do. I want to make a promise to our listeners. Talking about kickers is not something we're going to do on a regular basis.
We'll knock that one out week one.
We check that box. Make sure if you like what you hear, tell your friends. Make sure you subscribe so that this ends up on your feed every single time. We're going to come at you once a week during the football season. We are going to talk more than just football when we get to the offseason. We're going to talk more than just the Detroit Lions. We've got the NFL that we're going to continue to talk about. For TJ Lang, I'm John Jansen. You've been listening to Necessary Roughness.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.